Everyone, and I'm nervous. This is the first time I've ever done this during the afternoon, so, and especially up here, but we'll give it our best here. We'll see what the Lord does. We'll start off in Ephesians 3. Now, some of you may have heard this, but there's more stuff into it now. But it's something that we all need all the time. We all need it all the time if you're saved. And we'll go ahead and read this verse, 3:20. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your words, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. You provided a way that we could be saved. And Lord, we pray now, if there's any unsaved here today, that they would see a need to trust you as their Savior, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, that you would just bless the message. You'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your words today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." If you're saved here today, then this message is for you. And if you're not saved today, then this message could be for you. If you decide to trust the Lord there in your seat, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, yes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. And this is how he did it. Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, what is this power that we read about in Ephesians 3:20 that works in those that are saved? Doesn't work in you if you're not saved, folks. I just presented the gospel to you. If you don't want to believe the gospel, then you're going to be blinded until you believe that gospel. And the devil's going to blind your eyes. And if you choose to believe the gospel and to trust Jesus Christ right there, then that'd be great. And we pray that would happen. But what is this power that works in those that are saved? For whatever this power is, it accomplishes what the believer asks and what God is able to do above what we ask. And so let's go to Ephesians or Philippians 2. So what is this power in Ephesians? Philippians 2:13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And so this power in us, and it's God is wanting to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask, if we ask in his will. Because he goes above that what we ask. When we ask in his will, he goes above that which we can even think of, based on his good pleasure. The Bible doesn't say, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to our personality or our ability or education, or according to who promotes you, or according to what fellowship you belong to." That's not what the Bible says. It's according to the power that worketh in us. And so when it comes to this business of being Spirit-filled, and that's what we're going to talk about today, there is no limit on who can have it. There's no limit. It's available to everyone. To everyone that's saved. And it's available to those that are elegant in speaking, to those who are tongue-tied like me. I get tied up, to those who stutter, to those that are noble, to those that are mighty. It's available to anyone that's saved. And so today we're going to see what this business of being spirit-filled is like, and how that it is required. It's required of every believer. It's required how we can get spirit-filled and the result of being spirit-filled. And so the first thing, what is this business of being spirit-filled like? And so we'll look at the first thing, which is it's going to be a comparison. It's going to be a comparison. The Bible talks about three times in the Bible, it talks about a drunk man or drinking, where it's compared to a spirit-filled man. And this isn't by accident, folks. It's not by accident. This is by design. God has written a Bible, and He's put these things in that Bible by design. It's not some fluke that just happened. And so God didn't accidentally want to compare being filled with the Spirit to a drunk man. There's some things here, some characteristics that a drunk man has that are similar to that that a Spirit-filled man has. And so God wants us to see these characteristics and how they're similar. And that's why we're going to compare them. Go with me, if you would, to Luke. We're going to run through some scriptures here this morning. Luke 1. We'll start in verse 14. We'll start in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." And the reason why he didn't drink wine or strong drink is so that when he was speaking to others, and no one would be able to say that this man, he must be drunk. He must be drunk again, because he's doing the same thing he was doing the other night when he was rambling on at the bar. Nobody would be able to say that about this man, because nobody would have ever seen him drink any wine or any strong drink. Now go with me, if you would, to Acts. Acts 2. Start off in verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Here you have a bunch of fishermen, publican, tax collector, the apostles, and whoever else was there in that room with them when this happened. And they're speaking in tongues. And all the nations are hearing them in their own language. And folks, you better believe You better believe that, God's words, he could get his words to other countries in their language. If he wanted to, he can do it. And the Bible doesn't say anything about these men like it says about John the Baptist, that they wouldn't drink wine or strong drink. And in fact, the Bible gives the Jew permission to drink strong drink at a certain time. Certain set time, they were allowed to drink. It looks like it's during the national tithe. Go with you if you would to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14. Start off in verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, and the field bringeth forth, or that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in a place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and all and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money into in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. There's God giving permission. He's given permission. But look at what could happen when you're filled with the Spirit. Back in Acts. Go back in, if you would, to Acts. Look at what can happen. So it's possible. It's possible that these fishermen, that this publican, that these Jews that are in this room drink strong drink. It's possible. God gave them permission. He gave them permission. Let me look here. Okay, verse 14, same chapter. Here these guys are, they're preaching. They're preaching to all these Jews. They're all hearing them in their own language. They're speaking it with these tongues, and they're speaking, and it looks like God's twisting their words as they come out of their mouth so that they'll land in the ears, in those nations' ears, the people of the nations' ears' language. That's what it looks like. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Hey, they're not going to say that about John the Baptist. The Bible says that he wasn't going to drink strong drink. He wasn't going to drink any wine. These other Jews, that could be said about. Surely somewhere along the way, somebody saw him drinking at this tithe where the Jews would gather. So it says, whatever thy soul lusted after. These Jews, they could do whatever they wanted with that money, with that tithe money. They could buy whatever they wanted. But that doesn't mean we as Christians have been given permission to do those things. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk." I'm sorry, I hear pages. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So why does the Bible compare a drunk man with a Spirit-filled man? When a man is drunk, he acts differently. And so when a man is filled with the Spirit, he acts differently. Hey, if you let a fellow who is normally shy and timid and backward get drunk, what does he do? Suddenly, miraculously, he starts talking. And the more this man, the more he drinks, the more he talks. At work, they try to get you to go to the bar at work. The leaders, these are the leaders. Because they want to know what you know. And they know that if they can get alcohol in you, you'll say whatever they want you to say. You'll say whatever they need to know. On the same token, you let a saved fellow who is normally shy and timid and backward get filled with the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Spirit, and miraculously he starts talking in front of crowds and in public places and on the streets, and he doesn't get embarrassed anymore. The guy that never sings in public when he gets drunk, all of a sudden he goes to a karaoke bar and he'll start singing. He'll get up there and he'll sing and think everybody's enjoying his songs. He'll think that God put him on the earth to sing up there in that bar. He'll think he's good. Everybody else says, "Man, why don't this guy sit down for already?" But on the same token, you take a saved individual and he gets filled with the Spirit, and what does he do? He starts singing in church. He comes up here and sings. Now, man, that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes the Lord just gives you insight so that you know that you're just not good, and don't get up here and ruin anybody's eardrums. And so when a man is drunk, he acts differently. And when a man is filled with the Spirit, he acts differently. Hey, has anybody ever seen an unhappy drunk? I never have. When somebody gets drunk, all their sorrows are gone. And they're into the moment. How about a Spirit-filled man? You ever see an unhappy, moping around Spirit-filled man? He's always got a smile on his face. Always talking about the Lord. How about trying to discourage a drunk man from driving home? Hey, you better take his keys before he starts drinking. Because if you don't, he'll fight you. They lose. You're not going to discourage them from doing anything. Same with a Spirit-filled man. Somebody gets filled with the Spirit. It's always filled with the Spirit. Suddenly, the Lord calls him to the mission field. You're not discouraging him. He's got his mind set. He's going to the mission field. When a poor creature who is afraid of his own shadow gets drunk, he becomes as bold as a lion. Hey, you mess with a drunk man and you really make him mad, and I'll tell you what, you're not stopping him. You're not going to stop him. He don't care if there's 10, 20. He'll come at you. It's best off leaving a drunk man alone. And likewise, when a man is filled with the Spirit, he'll become as bold as a lion, and he'll attempt almost anything for the Lord. I mean, I don't think he's going to jump off a cliff for the Lord. He's got some sense to him. The Lord's not going to want you to commit suicide or anything, but He'll do anything for the Lord. You know what he'll find him doing? You'll find that individual going on the street preaching, holding up signs, witnessing for Jesus to everyone they can. And they'll talk and talk and talk to everyone that'll listen. And even to those that won't listen. Hey, sometimes you got to go to places where they have to sit there and listen to you because people just don't want to hear about the Lord. And so you strategically set up places where, hey, they got to walk across the street during a crosswalk. So, I mean, I got like 3 minutes to preach to these guys. So they have no choice but to listen to you. Being filled with the Spirit is required by God to saved individuals. It's a command. We saw first the comparison of a drunk man and a Spirit-filled man. And now we're going to look at the command. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The same Bible, the same chapter, the same verse that compares the drunk man with the Spirit-filled man gives two commandments. There's two commandments there, not just one. The first, be not drunk with wine, where's in excess? Hey, do you think it's wrong if I were to come up here after drinking a bottle of vodka, I'm drunk, staggering up here, in God's house, preaching to you, and I'm drunk? You think that'd be all right? How about coming to God's house to do service while being drunk? Think that'd be all right? For the congregation, anybody. Now the same Bible that says, be not drunk, says, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you realize what the Bible just said there? The Bible just said here that it's just as wrong for an individual that's drunk with to be drunk with wine, so it's wrong for an individual not to be filled with the Spirit. It's wrong for the drunk, and it's wrong not to be filled. So if you're drinking, you're sinning. If you're not being filled with the Spirit, you're sinning. It's a commandment. There is no commandment in the Bible to be sealed with the Holy Spirit or to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because those things are positional. They're positional. Once you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you automatically get them. Every believer is sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every believer. And that's why there's no command for those things. They're positional. They're automatically gotten once you're saved. However, not every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit or is filled with the Spirit. Because if they were, then all saved individuals on the face of the planet would be witnessing for Christ and they'd be doing things for the Lord, they'd be serving the Lord, and we all know that's not the case. That's not the case. In fact, most people who are saved, they don't even know about this command. They don't even know about this command. This command is not just for deacons. It's not just for preachers. It's for all saved people. And so now you know why churches have most of its problems. Most of its churches have problems with the congregation. Why? Why don't people witness? Why are people causing contentions in the church? Why are people causing divisions in the church? They're symptoms. Those are symptoms of not being Spirit-filled. Look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. 3:1. Here's Paul. He's coming to the Corinthian church. And this is what he says to him. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Why? Because they weren't reading their Bible. They weren't believing what they were supposed to believe. They weren't reading the Scriptures. They weren't meditating on the Scriptures. They're babies. They need to be fed. They can't feed themselves. And so Paul can't feed them with what he wants to feed them with. He's got to feed them with what they'll be able to eat. And so the problem with Bible-believing churches across this country is that the people sitting in the congregations, the pastors, the deacons, are not Spirit-filled. Otherwise, churches wouldn't be splitting. People would be loving their brothers. There wouldn't be fighting amongst the congregation. There wouldn't be separating yourselves from one another. It just wouldn't happen. Now, that brings us to how we get Spirit-filled. We saw the comparison. We saw the commandment. Now let's see what the conditions are. Spirit-filled is conditional, folks. An individual doesn't continue to get drunk every day or every week unless they have a thirst for it. Look in John 7. John 7. 7:37. I think that's it. Yeah. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink.'" Let him come unto me and drink. The main reason saved people are not filled with the Spirit is because they have a take it or leave it attitude. They really don't need it in their eyes, even though the Bible commands it. And their life is fine. They sometimes come and get a little taste, a little drop, but they really don't need the whole cup. They don't need it. To be filled with the Spirit, a person has to have, "I have to have it or I'm going to die." That's the need. I highly doubt any of you been thirsty. I think Brother Peterson said he was thirsty one time. But we've only been to a place, folks, where we can go to the faucet, turn on a faucet, get a glass of water. That's all we've ever been. I guarantee you that if you were thirsty, and you were really thirsty, you'd spend your last dying breath getting a drink of water. I guarantee it. Sure, we can go to the store and buy a gallon. We can come to church and get a little glass from the preacher. But you're really not thirsty. You're really not thirsty. Are you seeking it after you get out of church? Are you seeking it every day of the week? Are you really thirsty? Now, when Jesus was on the cross dying by his will for the sins of the world, I'm willing to bet that he was thirsty after all those beatings. After all the blood that came out of him, as your body's trying to heal itself, it's requiring water. As he's hanging on the cross and that water is flowing into his lungs because of the position that they are on the cross, he's got all the water is flowing into his lungs and he's thirsty and he calls out and he cries out, "I thirst." He's looking for somebody to give him a drink. Because he's hanging up there. He can't get it himself. He could have if he wanted to. But he says here in John, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Have you come unto Jesus to drink? The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are you in His words? That's where you're going to get the water. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The life water that you need, the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, is in His words, folks. That's what He says. And everybody gets the Holy Spirit, but do we get filled with the words, the Spirit? God's Spirit talking to us. The reason the church is in apostasy is because there is no thirst for God's words. There's more of a thirst for the words of men. There's more of a thirst for the words of the devil than the words of God. And that's why you have all these denominations. You have over 66 different types of Bibles, 70 Bibles. Because they don't want God's words. They want to be talked unto smoothly. So every saved person can be filled. Not only that, but in the same chapter, same verse, comes the next condition. And that's believing God's words. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you believe the words of God? I'm not just talking about believing the gospel. There's more in the Bible than the gospel. You get filled with God's words. You get the Holy Spirit by believing the gospel. But you get filled by believing what God says. Throughout his whole words. Believing God's words is like coming to a drinking fountain and drinking at the fountain of life. And as you believe those words, it starts to fill you up. And it keeps filling until those words start coming out of your mouth. And now you're in a position where you can help people. You're not ever going to be in that position until the words of God are believed in your heart, all of them. As you read them, you believe them. They start filling you. The next condition is asking. Luke 11. I'm going to try and finish this up. And I got a lot to go. I'll try and cut out some stuff. Luke 11:9. The Bible says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that asketh, that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will for a fish he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Listen, folks. Just the same way you get the Holy Spirit, by asking. You can be filled with the Spirit by asking. By asking. Hey, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, no Christian is ever going to have the excuse. Lord, I would have done more for you. Really, I would have. But you just didn't fill me with your Spirit. You didn't fill me with the Spirit. And he's going to say, hey, Did you thirst for my words? Really, you did? How about believing them? Did you believe them after you thirsted for them? Really? Did you ask me? Did you ask me for the filling of the Spirit? And he's going to say, what was your motive? Was your motive to look good in front of the church? Was your motive to be in a good standing position amongst the community? Or was it to help other people come to the Savior? What was your motive to be filled with the Spirit? Could it be that the reason people aren't getting saved is because the people witnessing to others simply are, they're just not filled with the Spirit? There isn't any power in the message. Look, if you would, back in Luke. We're almost done. Luke 1. What happens when a spirit-filled individual, when there's a spirit-filled individual? Now, folks, this is the consequence of being spirit-filled. 1:15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power and in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What does he do first, though? The first thing he does is many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What's the Ten Commandments? First half of the Ten Commandments has to deal with the individual towards God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. After they deal with God, then he deals with the fellow man. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Those are sins towards man. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife. Hey, get right with God first, and then you'll get right with your fellow man. Because then you'll be in a position where you'll be believing God's words, and you won't want to hurt anyone else. Go with me, if you would, to Acts 2, and we're almost done, folks. Go back to Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 through 36. You have individuals in the upper room praying in one accord, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin speaking. Now, the charismatics like to focus on the tongues, but what's the really important thing here, folks? It's the message. It's the message, the words that are coming out of these guys' mouth, not the language. The message. It's not important to speak in an unknown language. It's important to get the message to those that need it. And these men, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they spake, they spoke like Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 2:4, which says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And so do you see the importance of being Spirit-filled is? It's important to get the message, folks. To get the message to the people that need it. And that's why we're commanded to be Spirit-filled. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father, that we would see the need to be filled with the Spirit, Lord. that we would understand how to get filled with the Spirit. After we've seen the comparison, Lord, and we've seen the command, that we'd understand how to get filled with the Spirit. How we need to have a thirst. How we need to believe, Lord. How we need to ask you for the right motives so that the message that we speak to people, Lord, that it'll go forth with power. It'll go forth with power to touch the hearts of those that need it most. And Father, we pray that, Lord, if you would just help us to do that, Lord, and that we would do it. You've given us the help through your words. And we pray that we'd start getting in them, Lord, and getting filled so we can just be a help to you, and be a pleasure to you, and help others as we go about that. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. We'll go ahead and be dismissed there. Thank you.